This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
One of the topics I've been focusing on a lot recently is the purpose of marriage in Islam, right? Because it's linked directly to the Maqasid al-Sharia, the goals of Islamic law. Two of the goals of Islamic law is the preservation of lineage and the preservation of honor. And this is accomplished through getting married young. That's how you preserve your lineage, that's how you preserve your dignity. And a lot of people are saying, what's the benefits of marriage? Well, the benefits are long-term. They're not short-term, right? You get married young, you have kids. Guess what? By the age of 40, 50, you have a huge family that loves you, right? But if you get married late and you miss that age to have kids, you're going to be alone when you are old.
Yes.
And it's going to be too late to turn back the clock and to undo your actions and to try something different, right? Really, it goes back to the goals of the Sharia. What does Allah want for us? Allah wants us to have families, right? The Prophet said, "An nikahu min sunnah." Nikah is my sunnah. Whoever turns away from my sunnah is not of me. So to say, I'm never getting married, I don't want to get married, marriage is not for me. You literally who this hadith is talking about, right?
Yes.
An nikahu min sunnati. You are going against the sunnah. The Prophet told people in their teenage years, he told them, oh, young men, whoever amongst you can do so, get married. He commanded them to get married. And marriage, again, people have very westernized ideas of what is marriage. They think marriage is settling down. No, marriage is starting life. It's not settling down.
Yes, right? Exactly.
It's how you start life. And in the beginning, it can be just a contract. It can literally just be a guy and a girl like each other. They sign the contract to make their relationship halal. And they move in together 4 or 5 years later. You can do Absolutely. That, halal, right? But again, we don't have this Islamic understanding of marriage. We have this Christian or secular understanding of marriage, which is settling down. What is settling down? Settling down is where people committed zina with as many people as they wanted, and now they're going to settle on someone to spend whatever's left of their life. That's not an Islamic concept. We don't exactly. settle down. We start something together, and we grow it together over our lifetime.
Yes, exactly. The settling down concept is very westernized. It's very, very westernized. And again, it's an economic term which has come about in the last 30, 40 years to keep the capitalist cult moving. In Islam, nikah is simple. It's actually easier to do nikah than it is to buy a house, for instance. To buy a house, you've got to go for contracts and lawyers. Nikah, two witnesses, a wali, a istijaba and a qabul, a proposal and acceptance. And you don't even have to have an imam there, by the way. Imam does not have to be there. It has to be two Muslim men, her wali, father, brother, uncle. And you can do a nikah within half an hour. And there's no age limit, provided they are of akal. And there's no compulsion there. And there's clear acceptance. It's very simple.
That's how we do it in my family, right? In my family, we do it like that. Like, in my family, I'll give you one example. One young lady in my family, when she was in the first year of university, she told her father she likes a guy. The next week, he brought the guy to the house, spoke to him, called the Maulana home, performed the nikah in the house. And 4 years later, they moved in together.
Exactly.
And they're still married, and they have three kids together now, and they've been married for 15 years now.
That is barakah. And Rasulullah ﷺ told us about this, you know, and we know now, the harder you make nikah, the easier zina becomes. And zina, people think it's a small sin. After murder, zina comes second. It is a huge sin. It's a humongous sin. It's humongous.
Exactly. Number three, sure, zina. Murder, then zina. Those are the three.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's a huge sin. Huge. Because we're living amongst, and I know South Africa, I watch the cricket sometimes and I've got to turn my head away because the women in the crowd in South Africa, particularly in South Africa, from all the countries in the world, and I subhanAllah, it's, you know, may Allah keep you firm on deen. But it's a hot country, and you know, the fitna there, and it doesn't make it halal though. Even if everyone's doing it, does not make it halal.
Yeah.
And this is the wonderful thing about Islam, because the Sahaba, the Tabi'in, the Tabba Tabi'in gave us examples. They went to China and to, you know, all the way to Europe as well. After three generations after Rasulullah died, there were no Muslim countries, you know, nations. They didn't indulge in what they did. They still kept the halal, halal, and the haram, haram. It is not an excuse for us. We've normalized it now. They say when you get submerged in the water, you become like a duck. But we must never sink. We must, even if the sins are coming to our ears where we live, we must never sink, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Sharia is for eternity. It is not for just the one generation. It is for eternity. And, you know, speaking of marriage, like, we've got a group where we, like I said, we introduce young brothers and sisters, especially at university. You know, we go to universities and say, look, and we speak to the fathers sometimes, and they're often being an impediment to the nikah process. And we're like, uncle, your daughter's going to, or son's going to, if you don't say yes to the nikah, which you will facilitate, bi'idhnillah, they're gonna do zina. And zina, it will then be on your head as well, because you've obstructed the path of nikah.
There is a hadith about where the Prophet said, any young man who hits puberty and his parents stop him from getting married, the father will bear the burden of zina as well, because he was an obstacle to his son getting married. Now, the same applies to your daughter. If you are an obstacle between them and halal, you share in the sin of the haram.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's become so normalized now, and we're trying to educate brothers. I was 24 when I got married, 24. And 7-8 months outside of medical school, straight away, almost, I got to have my first child from the 29. Wallahi, to this day, I don't know any, I think I know one doctor in 11 years who's done it before me. Every single doctor's like, you're silly, you're stupid, wait till you're 35. Because in their head, marriage is settling down. And like you said, marriage is not, in Islam, it's not. Marriage is your trampoline. It will get you to the next level. A woman will bring all risk. And even if you are poor, and you know, Allah will provide for you. You still got to strive, tie your camel, but do not postpone marriage for wealth, because you never know, a risk could come. It could be unlocked during marriage. And we're seeing this, especially in the desi communities, the man's got to buy a house and he's got to spend so many thousands of pounds. This is an obstacle, and this is not from Islam. Islam is beautiful. Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got some of his poorest Sahabis married. You know, look at the story of Julaybib. There were poor Sahabi who got married. Because the nikah is simple in Islam.
And there's another concept here that I'm seeing now in the younger generation that's un-Islamic. And this idea that marriage is only for the wealthy, right? Mm-hmm. Look at the Sahaba, even the poorest of Sahaba got married. I know in South Africa, I know many people who are not doing well financially, but they are happily married. They're struggling together for the sake of Allah. They still love each other and care for each other, right? It's not just rich people. Now, some people feel like you have to be at a certain financial level to get married, but that's never been what Islam taught. And it's, as you said, you know, Allah will enrich you. Allah will take care of you. Some people, it is their test that they're going to go through life with poverty. That is Allah's test for that person.
Yeah.
Does that mean they never get married? No, they marry someone who's from their similar background to them, and they face the test of life together, right? It does make it easier to have someone to go through the trials of life together with, right?
Yeah.
But I've also seen this in my own life. Because I got married at the age of 20 and I became a father at the age of 21, this forced me to work harder in my 20s than anybody else I knew. Because you have in your mind, I am now kawam. I'm now responsible for these people. I cannot afford to miss a bill. I cannot afford to miss rent. I have to build up my wealth. I have to build up myself financially. It forces you to grow up. It forces you to man up. Because you now have the responsibility of other people on your mind. But if you are living alone in your 30s, you know, what's the motivation to do well in life?